Wow. Hey, how about a thank you for BC worship? Just crazy. Oh, we're going places, BC. It will become vibrant, but you come to a place to say, listen, I am saved. Man, I am saved by the blood of Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not bummed about that. I'm excited about that. And we come to a place, I'm never going to apologize for that. But man, it is, listen, you think about this, man. God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, created us to be very good, and then we blew it. And in a way, he sent his only begotten son to be the sacrifice for you and I, to pay for us and to get us back. Man, how do you celebrate someone like that? You come to a place to be vibrant. You come to a place to give them a halal praise, which is a hallelujah praise, which is shining and boasting and putting him in the center of celebration. Psalm 63 talks about a shabak praise. That is a loud shout of praise. BC, this is how we roll, and it's just beginning, man. We're coming to a place to be vibrant, to celebrate the God who sacrificed his son for me, so I can declare boldly, unashamedly, that I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I will celebrate and say thank you through song and worship. Are you with me? Come on, give God praise this morning. Oh, I like it. Here we go. Oh, man, I got to do that twice today. That was amazing. Wow, you should start coming to both services. Incredible. Amen. Come on. I hope that you all have had a great week. We love you. It's exciting to be back. And we're trying to be very careful on a huge push to BC. We're trying to be careful. We're excited that we have space and people are being very safe and careful, and we're excited about that. We want to be as careful as we can be with hand sanitizer everywhere and just keeping our distance as much as we can and trying to do air high fives and just the different things. But of all things, we come to a place that we need to be in the house of worship, and we need to declare that God is the God who can truly come to a place to bring peace to that which is at unrest and bring healing to that which is sick, and that we come to a place to trust in a God who is almighty and all-powerful. And we're going to celebrate God and what it means to really be together. Man, it's powerful. It's so good. And I so appreciate you being here today. Come on, I want to get into this, man, and we're at this place where you could turn to Luke 15. I'm going to start, it might be just 2 weeks, maybe it's 3 weeks. I'm not quite sure yet because there's just so much into where my heart has been through this coronavirus and through this sense of being absent for 3 months and what God is doing through this. We know that our God is good, and we know that God always has a plan, and we know that this thing was never a surprise to God, and we know that God will bring good out of all of this craziness that's taking place, the unrest here in America, the world virus that has taken place. We know that somehow, some way, God will bring good, and this is what I believe. I believe there will be a great return to the Lord. I believe that there will be a great return to the Lord in the sense of man being fragile, mankind, in a sense of emotions being so fragile, in a sense of our bodies beginning to realize our bodies can be fragile and sickness can attack. But in that, you come to a place to realize that there will be a great return, I think, to Christ and a great return to the church. Amen. And I believe this, that maybe you're a husband and you've been praying for your wife. Listen, we're in a fight right now, right? We're battling for people's souls and for people's lives. We're battling for those who once walked with the Lord, for those who once understood the great love and grace and mercy and compassion of God, but yet they have drifted, yet they have come to this place to wander. We believe that the Spirit of God will draw them back, that they will come to their senses again and say, what am I doing? God loves me and I'm acting in a way that doesn't show that. I believe that there will be an amazing return to the Lord. And if you're a husband and you're begging God for your wife, we beg with you. If you're a wife and you're begging God for your husband to return, man, we're begging God with you. If you're a mom and a dad, you're a parent, and you're begging God for one of your children to return to the Lord, then we are with you. And we're going to see it. We're going to see college students. We're going to see young adults. We're going to see adults. We're going to see teenagers come to this place to say, what am I doing? What am I doing? God loves me. He loves me. And it's time to return. And we're going to see this. We're going to see this. There's a lot of work to do, church. We got to fight. We're going to fight on our face. We're going to fight on our knees. We're going to come to this place to believe that in all this taking place, man, this isn't going to be a wasted pain. Watch this, man. This is not going to be wasted. we're going to take advantage of every single day that this thing is around, whether it is the racial tension, whether it is the virus deal, whatever the unrest is, we're going to take advantage of this to draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take advantage of this to let people know how much God loves them, that God is in control, that he hasn't fallen asleep, that he knows everything that's taking place, and somehow, some way, it will be for his glory. Amen? Oh, you're with me. I love it. I love it. Come on, Lord, bless this time. God, speak to us. God, give us ears to hear right now in this moment. God, give us ears to hear that we would hear from you. God, we'd be able to tune out everything else and that we would just have this one line with you, God, and we would just speak into our lives today. God, open our eyes to see exactly what you need us to see, not what we want to see. Lord, I think it's a huge difference between seeing what I want to see and seeing what you need us to see. Convict hearts today. Move in this place in a real way, God. And I thank you for opportunity today. But Father, all I do is deliver. It is only by your Spirit that moves in this place in such a powerful, powerful, powerful way. And we turn to you in this moment, that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. Come on, amen? Come on, are you ready? Are you ready? John, my man John is ready. He's like, I've been waiting. John sent me a great text this week, and I appreciate that. Just thinking of me and praying for me and just so much going on, man. I'm excited about today. Come on, Luke 15. This is we're going to get into this again the next probably 2 weeks, probably after today, maybe two more weeks, talking about the great return. So this is the deal. If you know somebody who needs to be here, then you invite them in and just, you can sit in a corner somewhere if you want them to be separate from people. Man, I love that. I think it's a great idea. But man, if you know somebody needs this, man, and I love that the idea that somebody needs this, because I believe as I'm preaching this, I really do need this. I've studied this week. I needed this, man. I needed a reminder of this, of who I am in him, that he loves me desperately. No matter where I'm at, the Father loves me. And man, I needed this reminder for myself. It's so powerful, so powerful. So if you know somebody who is walking a line that you know, man, I've been praying for them, man, God is going to move in them. They're going to return to the Lord. Then we're going to see a great return. And I'm one who believes this. It's not time for a theological lesson because we got to fly. But I believe this, man, when you come to a place that you know I am a sinner and I am dead because of sin and I need Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation and I need to repent and I need to believe and I need to surrender to him and you've come to this place to be born again, then I believe that you are born again. I believe a drift can take place, but yet you're still born again. I believe that you can walk in a way that's wayward, but you are still born again. And I'm not talking about the summer camp when you were 8, when they offered you a candy bar if you would raise your hand. That is not what I'm talking about. And I'm serious. Because people like to chalk up counts. We had 25 4-year-olds give their lives to Christ today. We gave them all a candy bar. But yet they live like the devil and they think they're saved. Listen, that's, I don't mean it. I'm talking about the one who truly comes to a place to repent from their sin, to know my sin has caused death, to believe that Jesus Christ is the answer. And I've confessed him as my Lord, but yet a drift happened. The world showed up and you didn't keep your guard up. Why is it that the Lord says, guard, 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 guard yourself, guard your heart, guard your mind? Like, why is that? Because we need to guard ourselves. Well, sometimes people let their guards down. Does that mean they're not born again? And listen, I'm not getting all theology. I didn't have time for this. But the reality is I think you can drift yet still be born again. I think when God acts, who can reverse it? I believe that God adopted you. You didn't adopt him. Don't ever forget that. God adopted you as a son or daughter. You didn't adopt God. People say, I found Jesus. Jesus was never lost. He found you. And when you come to a place to know the Heavenly Father's relationship with a son or a daughter, when you know that I am adopted and I belong to him, then there can be a drift that takes place, but yet you are still his. Come on, let's get into this. Come on, Luke 15, verse 11. This is the prodigal son. This is Jesus in this three parables here in Luke 15 about being lost and found. Talks about sheep, talks about a coin, and then he ups the stakes and talks about a son. And there's two sons here. You've got two sons. You've got this message today is called The Father, the Fool, and the Faithful. But yet the faithful one has a twist, and we'll see it. You've got the father, and then you've got the fool, and then you've got the faithful. The foolish son and the faithful son. But the faithful son had some issues. So let's dive into this thing. I want to break this down. Look at this. Watch this. Verse 11. And then Jesus said, a man had two sons. And this is a parable. This isn't a true story. It's truth in the context of Jesus speaking it. Right? It's truth in the context of a parable. This is Jesus. Jesus was the greatest storyteller to ever walk the planet. He was unbelievable, amazing, capturing with his words. People lived on his every word when he started telling a story, when he started telling a parable. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of his story, bang, there's a point. You're like, oh, I get it. Oh, the story, that was about me, okay? Oh, man, he's good. He got me. That was right there. That's what Jesus does, man. He gets you in his storytelling. So I want you to know this isn't a true story that happened. This is a parable, right? This is Jesus Christ telling a story to make a very real point to a crowd. And he says this, watch this. And there was a man, he had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, the younger one, said to his father, Father, give me. That means he's the taker. Give me the share of the estate that falls to me. By the way, that's the share of the estate to fall is the inheritance, which means the inheritance doesn't generally come until the dad has passed away. That's when the inheritance comes. So here you've got this son who we'll call him just the foolish son, right? The foolish son, we'll just say this is Frank, all right? Frank is the foolish son, right? Frank is the foolish son. So here Frank comes to dad. And Frank says, Dad, I want my inheritance, and I want you to give it to me now. Which what he's saying to his dad is, I'd rather you be dead because I'd rather have your money than you. But seeing you're not dead yet, why don't you break the rules and just give me my money? Give me what is rightfully mine. Listen, this is what the dad worked for all his life. This is a prosperous dad. This is a dad who has servants. He has a business. He has crops. He has farms. Dad's got money. And this son comes to a place, say, I've earned this. No, you haven't earned your inheritance. The dad worked for that inheritance. And what you're saying as a foolish prank, you're coming to a place to say, Dad, I wish you were dead. Matter of fact, to me, you are dead. Just give me my money so I can go. And not many days later, so the father divided his wealth between them. He's got two sons. In tradition, the firstborn son gets two-thirds. The youngest son gets one-third if there's only two. The first son gets half. So you got two-thirds to the son. He gets the majority. The older son gets the majority. The younger son gets his third. So he gets his third, which is an abundance. And not many days later, the younger son, Frank, he gathers everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. The brother went to Vegas, played around with the prostitutes, went out for steak every night, high roller, had the money, had the goods. Everybody loved him, put on a show. This was his loose living. I'm going to take my inheritance. I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to place it on black. I'm going to come to a place to get all the prostitutes that I can have. I'm going to be the high roller. I'm buying the wine. I'm buying the steaks. I'm buying the lobster. And he's just best friend with everybody for a season. This is what he did with his inheritance. Loose living. And now he had spent everything. A severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished, which means he was just starving. He had nothing left. He was hungry. So he went in and hired himself out. Now, Jesus tells this parable as if it's a Jewish family. And you got to understand something. Jewish families had nothing to do with pork. Jews would not eat pork. They wouldn't hang out with pigs. They wouldn't be with pigs like the servants did that. Jewish folk, they didn't hang out with the pigs. They didn't eat pork. It was against their culture. And here this young Jewish man, he hired himself out to be one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into his field to feed the pigs, to feed the swine. And he would have gladly had filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. Like he is in such a desperate lonely, hungry state that he's like, I don't even have food. I'll eat this pig food. This is where Frank is. And no one was giving him anything to eat. Verse 17, here it is. But when he came to his senses, and your version may say, and when he came to himself, he said. And you see, this is where I'm at, man. This is where I'm at in really crying out to the Lord that there would be those who have drifted. There would be those who've walked away for the pleasures of this world. There'll be those who have caught themselves up, but they let their guard down. There'll be those who come to this place to be so broken, to be so desperate. Listen. Isn't it amazing that Jesus tells this story and the Father released his son? The Father didn't run after his son. Father had to release his son. How difficult that must have been for the Father to watch his son come to a place. Give me what's mine. Dad, I wish you were dead. You're dead to me. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't like it here. I don't want to work for you anymore. I wish you were dead so I could get my inheritance and I could bounce. How hard is that for the love of the Father to watch his son turn his back and walk away and you don't know if he's ever coming home again? And the dad doesn't chase after him. And all you can do is just pray. And this is where we're at. We're praying that husbands would come to their senses, that wives would come to their senses, that they would come to themselves and stop listening to every other voice, but they would come to themselves and say, it's time. I'm in a broken place. Listen, please hear this. This is so tough because I think this sometimes it takes brokenness. Sometimes it takes people that you love desperately, that you see them in a broken place. Frank, here in this story, he had nothing. Lost it all. No friends. No family in his current country. No food. He was homeless. And he was starving. He was broken. And he came to himself. So it's what happens in that moment. Watch this, what happens in that moment. And maybe you've already had that moment. Maybe you've had that moment that you came to yourself. Maybe you had that moment you're like, what am I doing? What is wrong with me? What is happening with me? How have I got myself in this place? Man, everything was so good. I had food. My family did love me. I had a roof over my head, working for my dad. Man, I'm starving. I'm freezing. I've got no food. I've got no relationships. I've got no family. I've got no friends. How did I get here? Maybe we're in that place. Maybe someone online, whenever they watch this, finds himself to be in that place going, how did this happen? He came to himself. He came to his senses. Watch what he says when he comes to his senses. How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Take me as one of your hired men. Take me as one of your hired hands. Listen, I love this. You ever been in that place where you come to just rehearse and you rehearse and you rehearse in your head and you've got this statement and it sounds so good and you're like, okay, man, I'm going to go to my father. I'm in my place where, listen, I see it. My dad's hired. He treated his hired men so well that they got food and they've got shelter and they've got laughter and they've got hope. And then he comes to a place to say, I'm worthless. I've got nothing. I've got no self-worth left. I'm done. Maybe Dad would take me back as a slave. Maybe Dad would take me back as a hired hand. Because I'm no longer worthy. Because I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Church, what happens when you come to a place in your relationship with God that you think you're at a place where shame has gotten a hold of you and guilt has gotten a hold of you? You come to a place, even in sin, to come to a place to think, I'm not even worthy to be called a child of God. See, this is that story. This is that story. And you can see Frank, man, he's rehearsing this thing. Okay, I'm going to go home. I don't even have anything to clean myself up. I've got no shoes. I've got no coverings. I'm just a mess. I'm skin and bones. I can't hide it. What happens when you begin to, watch this, please hear this. What happens when you begin to realize you can't hide it anymore? I don't have any clothes. I don't even have shoes on my feet. I haven't eaten. I'm skin and bones. I am a wreck. Maybe this dude really did come to a place in this story. He was so broken. Does that mean like people are strung out on drugs? They are a wreck. They're a mess. They've given their life over to an intoxicant. They've given their life over to a drug. They've given their life over to an addiction, and it just wrecks them. And they just can't hide it anymore. And this son comes to a place to say, I'm just going to go home. Just as I am. Okay, I'm going to get there. I'm going to see my dad and I'm going to beg him. I know I've ruined our name. And I'm not even worthy to be called your son. But Dad, I'm hungry. Could you just hire me on as a servant? And he's playing this. And all of a sudden, watch this. Verse 20. So good. Church, why do we celebrate the way we celebrate? Why do we worship the way we worship? Why do we get so excited about our Father? Because of verse 20. So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And here you've got Jesus telling this story, but you got to realize, you got to understand something. Jesus is speaking to a group of Jewish men and women. There's a large crowd, and it was undignified for a man to run. Listen, they had their robes, and it was undignified for a man to run. So when Jesus is telling his story, he's breaking all the rules of dignity. Now listen, I know back then they wore robes in public. Dudes, don't wear a robe in public. That's not okay. But they had robes that they would wear, and it was undignified to see a man run in a robe. And Jesus tells the story that the father saw his son a long way off. And maybe as the dad would just pray, and the dad would maybe just seek for his son to return. This is there's truth that we can gain from this parable, from this story of the father's heart. Who's the father in this? It's God Almighty is our father. Jesus is portraying here God Almighty as the father. Well, listen, this dad might be on his porch every morning drinking his Bolivian dark his cup of coffee, his Bolivian dark waiting in his BC mug, probably his BC cup in his Bolivian dark waiting. Maybe today's the day my son comes. Maybe today's the day that he returns. And he sits and he looks and he waits. Another day passes. Maybe today's the day. Has anyone heard anything on Frank? Has anybody heard anything? What's going on with Frank? You're not going to like it. Man, I heard that he's just been strung out, man. He's a mess. Your son's a wreck. Reports aren't good. He looks terrible. Maybe today's the day that my son comes home. Maybe he knows he always has a place here. Do you notice the dad's response when his son said, "Hey, give me what's mine. I'd rather you be dead." You never saw the dad in this story go, "Fine, son. Hey, you're never welcome back here again. Hey, if you choose to leave, you're done. If you walk out this door, don't ever come back again. If you destroy my name that I built up, don't ever come home again." You don't see that. You see a dad who's waiting for his son. Maybe today he realizes that he's got a home to come home to. I just see this as our Father who loves us. He so loves us. And he waits. He waits. If you backslide, you're never coming to me again. Hey, if you drift, good luck. That's not our dad. That's not our Father. He waits. He waits. He waits. And then all of a sudden, there's that moment that he sees this silhouette. He said, "That's my son." And Frank, as he's over here rehearsing, he's walking over going, "Oh, I'm getting close. I can see the roof of the house. I'm getting close. Okay, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I know that the hired men eat, and I'm not worthy to be your son. Maybe I can just..." And he's rehearsing. And all of a sudden, the son looks up, and the Bible says the dad was running towards his son. I love that. He was running towards his son. And then at this point, what's going on in the son's head? "Oh, man, here comes Dad. Is he going to stop me and say, 'No, no, 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 you're not coming to my property'? Is Dad going to turn me around and say, 'Son, you blew it'?" And what is Dad going to do? And Dad just runs. I love this. Jesus' story is amazing. Where Dad just grabs his son and embraces his son. And just begins to kiss his son. And his son is, and I love it because his son has rehearsed so much. Even Dad's embrace like that is like, "Ah, Frank, you're home. Frank, I love you." And he's grabbing Frank and he's just hugging on him and he's kissing on him. And watch this, look at what the son is doing. This is amazing. This is amazing. And he saw him a long way off, and he saw him and he felt compassion for him. He ran and he embraced him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, here's his rehearsed speech, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight." And Dad's just, you just got him. Like, Dad's just got him. And here the son is trying to rehearse his speech. "Dad, I've sinned again." Like, Dad's just squeezing his son, kissing on him, and his son is trying to tell him a story. "That I've sinned against heaven and in your sight." Watch this. "And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Watch this, verse 22. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Dad, did you hear me? Quickly, my son is naked. Quickly, put the robe on him. But Dad, I'm trying to talk to you. Dad, I'm trying to tell you. I'm not worthy to be. I know I blew it. Dad, I'm sorry. Cover my son. Cover his shame. Cover his guilt. Dad, no, stop. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Okay, go. Grab the ring. The signet ring. And it's a myth. This is so important. The signet ring was a family album. That when you put this ring on, you were family. It was proof that you belong to me. You are my son. No, Dad, stop. What are you doing? Son, you've always been my son. And you will always be my son. You're home. Put the ring on his finger that he is reminded from this day forward that he is my son. And he's worthy to be called my son. And the signet ring is now forever on his finger. And put sandals on his feet. And go and kill the fattened calf. And we're going to celebrate. Because my son, who was lost, has now been found. So they quickly cover his son, and they put the ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And they begin to cook the barbecue here. Look at verse 23 and bring the fattened calf. And you got to understand, the fattened calf was no joke, man. It was the animal, the calf that they fattened up for the purpose of a really vibrant celebration, whether it had been a wedding. And here Dad killed the one calf, the fattened calf. The one that we have prepared for a very real celebration. And we're going to celebrate. My son has returned. Watch it. Bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine, this son of mine, this son of mine, I love it. This son of mine was dead. And he's come to life again. He was lost. And he's been found. And they began to celebrate. You've got the father. You've got the foolish son who came to his senses to repent and turn. And he went totally unexpected, Dad, to come to this place to just, oh, you're my son. You were dead, but now you live. You were lost, but now you're found. It is time to celebrate. Our God rejoices over us. He rejoices over us. He celebrates us. He fights for us. But then you've got the faithful son, the older son. Verse 25, and now his older son was in the field. And when he came and he approached the house, he heard music and dancing. That might have been a party when you heard dancing. How do you hear dancing? Like, they're jamming, right? They're just getting it. They got BC worship team going, and they're just cracking it, man. It's unbelievable. The floors are, the dirt floors, the dusty, man. He hears dancing. BC worship's crushing it right now, right? So here he hears music, and he hears dancing. That's amazing. And he summoned one of his servants and began to inquire. And he said, what are these things could be? And he said, your brother has come. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he received him back safe and sound. Like here, you've got the older brother. I love this because we get this picture of where the older brother is. Like, could you imagine that he's walking in, he's coming home from working. And he hears a party, man. He hears the music, he hears the dancing. He's smelling the barbecue going, what is going on right now? And he asks somebody, he says, hey, your brother's home. Hey, your brother, so Frankie came home. He's safe. He's alive. Your dad is celebrating. You'd imagine that the older brother would be juiced, man. Oh, that's the best news. I'm so glad that Frankie's home. How is he? How does he look? Oh, you know, he looks a little rough. We got to get him in some programs. We got to get him off the drugs. But man, he's home and he's safe. And your dad is so excited. You should have seen. Oh, you should have seen your dad. Oh, he's so excited that your brother came home. You can imagine that the older brother, who's been so faithful, will be so excited that little Frankie came home. But he became angry and not willing to go in. His father had to come out and beg him. The father had to come out and beg his older son. What are you doing? Come on. Frankie's home. I'm not going in there. What are you talking about, man? He's home. This is what I've been waiting for. This. I'm waiting for my son to return. Come on, what's wrong with you? Why can't you celebrate, man? I want you to come in. Come on, grab the barbecue. Put on your dancing shoes, man. Frankie's home. Dad, no. I'm not going in there. Why are we celebrating him? Do you know what he did to you? I'm not going in there. Watch this. This is amazing. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out, began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look. I mean, he's emphatic about this. Look, for so many years I have serving you. Faithful, watch this. He's so faithful. I've been serving you and have never neglected a command of yours. I've done everything you've ever asked me. All I've done has been faithful to you, Dad. I'm the faithful son. I've never left you. Isn't that amazing that we can say, I did this. I never left you. I've served you for all these years. I've never once neglected a command that you've given me. He's saying how faithful he is. But here it is. I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours came who devoured your wealth with prostitutes. You killed the fat calf for him. Listen, Dad, you didn't even give me a goat. You've never once threw a party for me. All I've done is serve you. All I've done is what you've asked. All I've done has been faithful, and you've never thrown me a party. Not even a young goat. But he, taking your money, loose living with prostitutes, destroyed our name, and you give him the fatted calf? Dad, I'm faithful. Isn't it amazing that the twist of the faithful is that he loved the attention? He was faithful because he wanted all the attention. He was so good, he became arrogant. And amazing that you see people who all they want to do is just serve, and it actually turns into a place of complete ignorance and pride. Because they love to be in the show, and they love to be recognized, and they love to be the one who, well, did you see me? Did you see me? Did you see me? Did you see? Did you see all I did this and I did that and I did this and I did? Did you see it? 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 Dad, did you see it? And it actually turns into a place of just ignorance and pride. And here it is. Watch this. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me. All that is mine is yours. And here's the heart of the Father. I love this. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 32. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and it began to live. He was lost and he has been found. Listen, listen, listen. Come on. Hey, this brother of yours. Yes, you never left. Yes, you've been faithful. Everything you have got is yours. This isn't about stuff. This isn't about your attention. This isn't about you being celebrated. This is about your brother who was lost, who was dead, but now he lives and he's been found and he's home and we're going to celebrate him. It's not about you. Come on, BC, where are we in this? Where are we in this? Man, do we actually look at people who, yes, they once loved Jesus and follow hard after Christ, but they've drifted? And we know how far they've drifted, that we're going to look at them and we who are so faithful are going to judge them. I don't want you back at church. You know what you did. You know. Which son are we? Do we proclaim our faithfulness so much? I've served you. I've served you. I've done this. I've done that. I've done this. I've done that. I've done this, done that. But yet you love all the attention. You've done all this and all that so that people can talk about how faithful you are. Isn't that silly? Oh, did you just see how, oh my God, did you just, self-brag is sin. We hide it under faithfulness. We love the attention. We love the attention. Come on, church, we've got to be ready. Come on, come on, we got to be ready. And I believe this, man, we've got to be ready for people to come back to the Lord in this season, for people to come to their senses to say, what is wrong with me? How will my family receive me? How will the church receive me? How will my mom and dad receive? How will my brother receive me? And we will come to a place to have the answer to say, man, we are going to embrace you and we're going to kiss you and we're going to celebrate you and we're going to be so excited that you were once lost, but now you are found. You've come back to a place of your senses to know how good our God is, that you are adopted once and for all and you are born again and you are in this house and you belong here. That's got to be our response. Come on, we got to close, man. I could go on, but let's just close our eyes, please. We gotta close. I wanted to get you out 8 minutes ago. That didn't work. Work with me. 12:20 is my mark. I will hit that mark eventually. No, I mean it, man. I want to. Anyways, come on, let's pray. Come on, don't lose this moment. Come on, get our attention on right here, right here, right here. Where are you in this? BC, where are you in this? If you're in a place, please hear this, man. If you're in a place where you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, you're in a place where you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ. You're in a place where you're like, I'm neither one, man. I've never come to a place to give my life to Christ. I've always believed it was either nonsense, or I always believed that I was a good person. I always believed I went to church. I went to religious class. I did my do's and don'ts. I light my candles. I thought I was good enough. Well, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us walked the life of a fool. Every one of us were lost. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, nobody, nobody gets to the Father but through me. So, man, if you're in this house and there is a drawing in your spirit right now, there's a drawing in your spirit. You come to a place to say, I admit my sin, man. I know that I'm a sinner and I'm separate from God. In this moment right now, if I were to die right now, the Bible says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Do you have Christ? Because if you are without Christ, you are without life. And in this moment, you come to a place to say, it's time. I've come to my senses. I need Jesus. He'd been working on my spirit for some time, and today, right now, is that moment to come to a place to say, Lord, forgive me. I admit my sin. I believe in you, Jesus. Jesus, you're the only answer. That's it. That's it. It's only Jesus. I confess that you are Lord. You are Master. You're in charge. I surrender. Man, if you're in this place and you want to come, you truly want to come to a place to be born again, then with all heads bowed, you just come to a place and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Just pray this in your spirit. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I admit that I'm a sinner and I failed. And I cannot make heaven on my own. Jesus, forgive me. You died on a cross for me. And your blood was shed for the payment and the forgiveness of my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you would be my Lord and my Savior. I confess that you are my Lord. I call right now. I call on the name of Jesus for salvation. Save me. Maybe you're in this house and you're like, Sean, I have been playing the fool. Or Sean, I've been playing the faithful one with a twist. I act so faithful, but yet it's really for my own attention. I like people to notice me. I think I do it because I want to be faithful, but it really, the motive is that people would notice how faithful I am. It's about attention. Maybe you're in this place and maybe you're the fool and you're in this, come on, man, you're in this place where you're just like, it's time, man. It's time to return. Yes, I know that I'm born again. Yes, I know that God loves me. Yes, I know that Jesus put himself on the cross. I know that, man. I've come to this place to be born again. And I know that I am, but I've drifted. I've drifted. It's time to come to your senses. Say, it's time to come home. You will. I love the story. Jesus, like, you will be received with compassion and grace and mercy and an embrace. You will be received by the Father with kisses. He's not here to punch you in the face. He's not here to say, nope, never again. He's not here to say, you had your shot. He's here to embrace you and love you and cover your shame and cover your guilt and put the ring on your finger. Say, you will always be my son. You will always be my daughter. You belong to me. You belong to me. That's what you will get. Come on, if you're in this house today and you're like, oh, man, it's time to return. Then you, I can't do it for you. You got to come to your own self. The dad didn't chase his son. There's a very real moment in the son's spirit. He said, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. As we sing this last song, I just please, if you would, I just want you to be seated. And I want you to come to a place to do the business with the Lord. That you would come to a place to say, it's time, I'm coming home. Lord, forgive me, I'm wrong. I've sinned. Take me home. Take me home. Lord, forgive me for playing a game of faithful. Lord, forgive me of playing a game of attention. I'm ignorant. I'm prideful. Lord, forgive me.